Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the second day of May, 2020. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And, of course, the usual booga, 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 let's destroy the entire world economy because we can, and we've got people scared out of their you-know-what is continuing this week. But it looks like there's some good news. More and more people are saying, you know what? This is idiotic. If the goal here was actually to protect people, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing anyway. I think the goal is just to plain tear things up. And as a result, we're seeing a lot more people protesting. Even a few places where they're saying, the heck with this. My business is being destroyed. I'm going to go ahead and open my restaurant or my hardware store or whatever it is anyway. What's the worst they can do to me? Oh, answer, what they're already doing. After all, basically, I'm already in prison, too. So I guess on that front, and to get it out of the way for now, we'll start with some good news and bad news. More good news, just because it means more people are waking up. From NBC News, nothing but communism is acceptable. Hundreds of protesters, some of them carrying guns, went to the state capitol in Michigan demonstrating against Michigan's tyrannical so-called emergency measures. There are pictures of lots of people carrying things like American flags and signs that actually say freedom. Who could have thought such would be allowed in the current tyranny? Lawmakers have said declined to extend the state's emergency declaration and instead voted to bring a lawsuit to challenge their tyrannical socialist governor Gretchen Whitmer's so-called authority, whereupon she, of course, then issued new emergency orders. Oh, and NBC even admits that they talked to the state police because they can't read the Second Amendment, who told them that it's actually legal in Michigan to carry firearms. Imagine that, folks. As long as it's done with lawful intent and the weapon is visible. Well, there you go. What Michigan needs is a lot more people carrying very visible weapons and everything else everywhere they need to and want to go, almost like it was a free state again. Because no doubt about it, those who claim to be public servants need to be reminded of that in the strongest possible terms. And while people nationwide were protesting their slave masters and wondering whether they'd managed to get the shackles off while there was still any possible chance of saving what's left of the U.S. economy, old lies just kept getting exposed, even if the waste stream press still isn't wanting to talk about it. And one of the biggest of those concerns what ought to be called the Flynn Flam, the deep state effort to destroy the Trump administration before it really even got seated. Just one part of a well-hidden, multi-pronged coup attempt. According to a new filing in Flynn's case, the FBI attempt to frame the former National Security Advisor for the new incoming Trump administration was called Crossfire Razor. You may recall Crossfire Hurricane was another part of that multi-pronged attack on the administration that was never supposed to be allowed anywhere close to the Oval Office anyway. Notably, on January 1 of 2017, though, the FBI Washington, D.C. field office recommended closing the case against Flynn because they couldn't find any, quote, derogatory information about him. Said the now finally released FBI memorandum, the goal of the investigation was to determine whether Flynn, an associate of the Trump campaign, was directed and controlled by and or coordinated activities with Russia, Russia, Russia. Yeah, the Russian Federation in a manner which is a threat to the national security and or possibly a violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Unquote. And the answer, of course, is they knew it was BS all along, and it turns out the conspiracists went ahead with their dastardly plot anyway. I love using that term when it's ever so apropos, don't you? Technofog put it this way in first breaking the story. On 1/4/17, after the FBI field office failed to find any derogatory information, the so-called leadership of that scumbag of an organization, you know the names, folks, Peter Strzok in this case, went off the rails and targeted Flynn, saying, "Don't close Razor." The long-hidden smoking gun memo showed a number of Peter Strzok texts to the FBI case manager handling the Crossfire Razor case, i.e. the Frame Flynn effort, among which one of them said, "If you haven't closed Razor, don't do so yet," and he pointed out that the seventh floor is involved, i.e. the disgusting leadership of that discredited organization, and he pointed to the possible use of Logan Act violations, and it's even in quotes here, to keep the investigation open. They don't need no stinking evidence, folks. That's been obvious now for years. In review, Sarah Carter detailed that the FBI emails and handwritten notes revealed that the three-star general was literally being targeted for prosecution, according now to Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell. And one of the emails, dated 23 January 2017, infamous FBI liar and lawyer Lisa Page, who at the time was having that now well-known affair with the infamous, disgusting Strzok, and who worked closely with him on the case, discussed the charges the Bureau would bring against Flynn, whether they had any evidence for them or not, before the actual interview at the White House even took place. And guess what? Those email exchanges were prepared for former FBI Deputy Director, finally fired, and rightfully so, Andrew McCabe, because he's a liar and the truth is not in him, and that took the office of the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, to finally reveal that little bit of truth way, way after the fact. And then there's former FBI Director and Whoremeister himself, James Comey, who was fired likewise by the President for his perfidy and breach of faith, who revealed during an interview with Nicole Wallace last year that he sent the FBI agents to interview Flynn at the White House under circumstances that he never would have done for any other administration. In other words, guess who he was serving? Quote, I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, unquote, said the Whoremeister at that time. And I guess one could argue that organized in this context applies to a more organized crime kind of a family, as opposed to, say, organized in anything resembling a constitutional framework. For her part, the lawyer who's finally getting to the bottom of all this skullduggery, Sidney Powell, in a motion filed earlier this week, wrote that since August 2016, at the latest, partisan FBI and DOJ leaders, she should have put sick in there, I will, because these aren't leaders of anything, folks, except a conspiracy to undermine the United States government, conspired to destroy Mr. Flynn. These documents show in their own handwriting and emails that they intended either to create an offense that they could prosecute or at least get him fired. Then came the incredible malfeasance of Mr. Van Krax and the SCO's prosecution, despite their knowledge there was no crime by Mr. Flynn. And in the stories that primarily are making the way around the alternative side of the web that isn't quite so propagandized, you'll see notes like this. If we get him to admit breaking the Logan Act, give facts to DOJ and have them decide, said one of the handwritten notes. Or if he initially lies, that would be great, I guess. Then we present him with something not legible, and he admits it, document for DOJ, and let them decide how to address it. Protect our institution, said the last point of the handwritten notes, by not playing games. And that doesn't seem to mean that they're not going to lie and play those kind of games. It means they're just going to play hardball and send the message that when it comes to coups, we're not fooling around. We'd as soon destroy you as look at you. And interestingly, there's even this admission, if we're seen as playing games, WH, that might even mean the White House, will be furious. I think they were more than furious, folks, and they ought to have been. Christina Lalla's piece has a headline that basically summarizes some other aspects of the finally, belatedly revealed hatchet job against Michael Flynn. The handwritten FBI notes have been unsealed. It said, they framed Flynn. And among some admissions in them was, what is our goal? Is it the truth? Or an admission to try to get him to lie so that, quote, we can prosecute or get him fired? Question mark. Basically, she and just about everybody else who's looked at the notes confirm all of it was a pretext to try to destroy the incoming administration. Here's a related headline, same source, and this time Joe Hoft. Newly released documents show that the FBI prepared for that infamous call with General Flynn in January 2017 by going over questions that the general might actually ask them on their call. And this call was made to set the stage for the ambush meeting in the White House between General Flynn and corrupt FBI agents, yeah, Peter Strzok and Joe Pientka, among what it sounds like are many, many, many other corrupt scumbags in that filth-ridden organization. There needs to be a huge amount of house cleaning done here, folks, and it's taken years, and the damage done has arguably been incalculable. How about this? Another headline. It was Priestap, the assistant director of the FBI's so-called counterintelligence division. Maybe that means contrary to intelligence. Up until 2018, he's the one, in other words, who seems to have written those notes about framing a general named Michael Flynn. And finally, there's this. General Michael Flynn himself fired off a video tweet midweek, Wednesday evening, following the release of those handwritten FBI notes showing that he was framed by the crooks at the FBI who should in fact be the ones under indictment and have the rest of their lives ruined like they tried to do to him. General Flynn's video tweet included a 12-second post showing an American flag, prompting the president himself to tweet this. Imagine having your life and reputation ruined by rogue U.S. government officials. Then years later, when the plot finally comes to light, the first thing you do is post an American flag. This, he said, is the guy they wanted you to believe was a Russian asset. Finally, there's this on a related subject. I'll take it with a grain of salt until we see a second witness, but at least it's worth noting. Former U.S. Attorney Joe DiGenova said a piece from Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit was on the Howie Carr show earlier this week and provided some more inside information regarding the General Flynn case and the unraveling of the coup to try to remove the president from office. Interestingly, though, he's also saying that former FBI General Counsel James Baker may, that's the word I'm going to emphasize, have flipped. Because Durham is building a conspiracy case on all of those who lied to the court. Yes, folks, we've been hearing this for a long, long time. Would that it were true. We know that they lied to the court. The question is, will the court actually ever see those lies come to light? And will the American people, of course, ever even remotely see justice? I'm not holding my breath on that for sure. Here's how DiGenova put it, though, in response to a question from the host. He was a target, now he's understandably cooperating because he was looking at, quote, a boatload of criminal charges. These were, he noted, the notes that FBI Director Chris Wray and Dana Buente did not want turned over, but once those notes were discovered, well, it's a whole different ballgame. From there, I guess it's time to go on to global suicide in the form of the COVID-1984 plandemic. And let's start that off with this one from earlier in the week. The Bank of America's truckload diffusion indicator, which has to do with freight demand in the formerly free and formerly productive United States for shippers, continues, says Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, to paint a grim picture not only for freight, but of course of the overall economy. Put simply, the so-called pandemic, I put that word in there, has led to record lows in some of the ugliest survey numbers since the bank started conducting its survey back in 2012. Heavy-duty trucking was already in the midst of trying to shake off the results of a bloated Class 8 order backlog that started even before the latest excuse for popping the bubble in 2018, as Zero Hedge has documented month by month for quite a while now. And not unlike the auto industry, they note, it's been a terrible time for the industry to be hit with demand interruption, and the COVID-1984 booga 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 shutdown has forced the entire sector from being bad to worse. Bank of America's truckload diffusion indicator for shippers shows a 0 to 3 month freight demand outlook that has dropped dramatically. That's a 10% sequential decline month over month. And it's the fourth survey in a row that has set yet another new all-time low, prompting the bank to write over the weekend that the demand indicator is down 39% after hitting a temporary peak back on January the 30th. It's now down 43% year over year. It's 43rd consecutive decline and the longest stretch thereof, and it's posted the largest ever year-over-year decline, accelerating from last year's dismal decline of 39%. Do you get the picture here? Most of America, though, certainly still doesn't. I think it's probably already too late to avoid a greater depression that was pretty much baked in the cake anyway, now that the biggest debt bubble in human history has been popped. So it's important to keep remembering how the Bolshevik plan is to use this particular crisis in order to build, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, on the shambles of a system that wasn't quite socialist enough to really put the screws to people. So with that, let's talk about a piece that came out over the weekend from Zero Hedge. They've been talking about what's called the welfare cliff, along with Austrian economists, of course, who've noted that the generosity, put it in quotes, of the package of welfare benefits now being foisted on a dumbed-down public, they'll pay for it in more ways than just inflation, ends up creating a perverse incentive not only work any harder, but in some cases, not even work at all. The tragedy, says Tyler Durden, of the American welfare system is that it traps so many people, deliberately, of course, into dependency on government and hinders them from getting on and climbing up the job ladder and thereby earning self-respect and maybe even happiness. What we're getting is an entire new generation of welfare serfs. And to bring that point home, BizPack Review's Vivek Saxena details the case of a Washington State business owner who's now facing incredible backlash from her employees because she obtained a forgivable Paycheck Protection Program loan from the FedGov that's allowed her to actually keep her employees fully paid through the coronavirus pandemic collapse. And in an interview with CNBC this week, salon owner Jamie Black Lewis of the Oasis Med Spa and Salon in Woodinville and the Amai Day Spa in Bothell said her employees were literally furious with her because they were already making, you got to put that in quotes too, more money by sitting home eating bonbons and being unemployed. And the reason they're making so much more money being unemployed was because of a socialist far-left provision added to the CARES Act that puts an additional $600 a week on the typical benefits package paid by one state. The result? They would just as soon stay home and don't ever want to go back to work. So the businesswoman who went out on a limb for her employees, quote, "It's a windfall they see coming. In their mind, I took that away. I couldn't believe it. On what planet am I competing with unemployment?" It resulted, she said, in a, quote, "firestorm of hatred about the situation." Gee, is this a somehow or other related story? Well, not if you go to the public cesspools for indoctrination or listen to the occasional Cortex and her ilk. There are still, though, lots and lots of food processing plants across the country that are shutting down, leading J.D. Hayes at Natural News to write, "Coronavirus continues to ravage cities and the U.S. food supply chain," whereupon he notes at least five ways in which the entire system could collapse. From fairly obvious things like delivery problems to workers who'd rather stay home and collect unemployment benefits than provide people with food, to others that we've talked about here before like supply chain mismatches. In other words, while some store shelves remain empty of goods and foods, some farmers are actually having to dump milk and leave produce in the fields to rot because the markets they once served are shut down. For example, many of these producers rely on things like restaurants, schools, and hospitals, which either remain closed or, in the latter case, don't even have the demand that was forecast. Because Big Brother did such a good job, don't you know? Meanwhile, the totalitarian gun-free, but not really, and certainly disease-ridden cesspool of Chicago, as you might expect, is taking the pure Fourth Reich opposite position, says Ethan Huff for Natural News, and they're in the deep planning stages of mass vaccinations for, well, at least that's what they're telling people, coronavirus. America's next civil war, it begins, is quickly taking shape on the basis not even of social justice, sick at this point, but rather the guise of so-called public health and the corresponding mass vaccinations, especially in what's laughably called the blue areas of the country, like Chicago. Still bugs me to see that. Picking blue for the socialist parts of the country is pure propaganda, because they're truly red to the very core. During a recent press conference, Allison Arwardy, the commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health, SICK, openly admitted that that communist city is so far along into the deep state planning stages of a future mass vaccination campaign that they have already purchased the syringes they will use to administer them, whether the peons like it or not. Not only that, but the city of Chicago, she added, has also already selected the locations where Chicagoans will be mass vaccinated in accordance with whatever public health officials decide is best for the little slaves for tackling the Wuhan coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-1984. And guess what, folks? If you think that it's going to have anything to do with the public health, you're probably drinking the Chicago Kool-Aid. During a press conference, she said, quote, "We'll finally be moving toward this mass vaccination campaign, continuing to follow, and I want you to know, the CDPH is already deep in the planning stages around vaccination. We've already bought the syringes," she said. "We know where it's going to happen. We're thinking about what that's going to be. It's all part of this plan," unquote, she said. And I can't help but think, they probably already have the jackbooted thugs ready to bend people over a table if they need to. Ponder the irony here, folks. They can't even afford basic hygiene, but they can pay for a whole bunch of needles for a totalitarian beta test. But you can certainly imagine that, at least up front, they'll tell you it's voluntary. That is, if you don't want to face indefinite lockdown and not ever being allowed to work again, which, come to think of it, might fit the city of Chicago pretty well anyway. Notes Ethan Huff, Arwoody has been seen quite a bit lately on Chicago TV, often appearing alongside their communist mayor, Lori Lightfoot, and regularly hosting the live Q&A sessions on Chicago Public Health, SICK, and their socialist media pages. You might say, he adds, that Arwoody has been the face of Chicago during the plandemic, which is deeply unsettling considering how gung-ho she is for a future Wuhan coronavirus vaccine. And while she didn't originally mention the mass vaccination campaign, we now know it's been part of the plan all along, or at least ever since eugenicist and big brother buddy Bill Gates announced their plans to introduce vaccines for the Wuhan coronavirus and, of course, the digital certificates, call it the mark of the beast if you prefer, that will serve as proof of poking. And as you probably remember, and Ethan Huff reminds us again, the evil guy that some now refer to as the Gates of Hell has already said, as far as he's concerned, and he has the power to influence public policy, which means you don't, the world will not be released from lockdown anytime soon until pretty much everyone has been vaccinated. And that's for a vaccine that doesn't even yet, we're told, exist. Dr. Ron Paul has stepped up and warned about the danger of forced vaccinations and the so-called digital certificates to go along with them. He notes that back in his first week in the House of Representatives in 1976, he cast one of the two votes against legislation then appropriating funds for a swine flu vaccination program, which, booga, 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 dominated the headlines, and the hastily developed and rushed into production vaccine was not only ineffective, it was downright dangerous. About 50 people, he said, who received the vaccine subsequently contracted Guillain-Barré syndrome, a potentially fatal form of paralysis. And according to experts, even with the CDC, the incidence of Guillain-Barré was 4 times higher among those unfortunates who got the swine flu vaccine than in the general population. And he's worried that sad history may soon repeat itself. Given that the founder of Microsoft, my term, not his, Bill Gates, the Gates of Hell, major funder of these efforts, has suggested, and his suggestions almost have the force of law with the communist left, that everyone who receives their vaccine, like a good little slave, be issued a digital certificate, proving he's been poked. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who Dr. Paul says has a record of wrong predictions that makes him the Bill Kristol of epidemiology, he's also as compromised as your average Hollywood movie producer to boot, also wants individuals to carry that digital proof that they've been vaccinated. And, of course, there's the phone app that they also want to slam down people's throats that will track their movements and allow Big Brother's officials to identify anyone who's been near anyone who may have had contact with the coronavirus. And that suggests one of the few representatives who actually ever honored his oath to the Constitution in recent decades is an assault on our privacy and liberty. Yes, he says, vaccines can improve health, but not all of them are safe and effective for all people. And furthermore, he says certain modern practices, like giving infants multiple vaccines all at once, may cause health problems. So the fact that vaccines may benefit some people, even if it was most people, doesn't justify Big Brother forcing individuals against their will to be vaccinated. Nor does it justify vaccinating children against their parents' wishes. And it certainly doesn't justify keeping individuals and families under house arrest simply because they don't have the digital certificates proving they've had their shots. After all, he notes, and not for the first time, if Big Brother can force individuals to receive so-called medical treatment against their will, what can't they force people to do? From prohibiting them from owning firearms, dictating the terms of their employment, to various drugs, harmful or not, or to drinking raw milk. People have seen what Big Brother is doing to them, from locking down their schools, churches, workplaces, even children's parks, to now talking about moving on to some of the most invasive measures in U.S. history, ought to be demanding an immediate end to the lockdowns and the restoration of individual responsibility, and even allowing people to decide how best to take care of their own families and health. Finally, here's another one of those that's been a long time coming. Not quite the whole truth, but at least we're slowly heading in that direction. And it doesn't hurt, I suspect, that there's a war with China that's very much in the deep state plan here. President Trump confirmed, among other things, in his daily briefings later part of the week, that he had a high degree of confidence that, in fact, COVID-19 did originate in that Wuhan lab. Well, gee, there's a shocker, folks, especially since he ought to know that the guy he's been taking advice from, the evil Tony Fauci, at least was in command. during the Obama regime, of course, of the so-called health agency, good grief, that helped deliver that bioweapon to the communist Chinese. And we'll be right back. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. Yes, I'm still your host, Mark Hall, and unfortunately we're still talking about the biggest attack on what's left of the American Republic, arguably in American history. Hitler, Mussolini, and Hirohito couldn't do it, but it looks like Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates just might pull it off. By now you know what I mean. The plandemic that ought to be called properly COVID-1984. So I guess this story is a great way to start us off, true to form. The evil communist totalitarian governor of, wait, which state could he be talking about? Well, there are so many candidates. In this case, Illinois. J.B. Pritzker, who has the state in lockdown, and of course businesses there, shut down through, for now anyway, the end of May, along with so many other socialist parts of formerly free America, has been revealed as the hypocrite that so many such totalitarians are. Well, an Illinois legislator on Wednesday filed a second legal challenge to the tyrant wannabe there, saying the Democrat governor's emergency powers, such as they are limited to 30 days, and that therefore Pritzker had no right to extend his Achtung Verboten to Work order from March 21st through the end of May. But here's the kicker. Turns out that not all Illinois peons are equal. Well, some aren't even peons. Some are dictators. And Governor Pritzker recently sent his wife and kids to Florida during a time when he's ordered everybody else to Achtung, stay at home, or else. And as Jim Hoft puts it for the Gateway Pundit, he's the latest socialist to get caught breaking the very rules that he set for the lesser people, you know, the peons of his own state. And when confronted about his family's Florida trip, Pritzker told a reporter, listen to this, folks, and try not to cry or laugh, but maybe getting really, really angry is okay. Quote, in politics, it used to be, we kept our families out of it. Yeah, but that was back when people took an oath and meant it, too. Yeah, he said, my official duties have nothing to do with my family, so I'm just not going to answer that question.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Cass Jackson responded to the dictator wannabe by saying, Governor Pritzker, your official duties have everything to do with your family if you're telling every other family in the state to hashtag stay home. Your own family, though, skip town to go to Florida, where they are reopening. So this is a spit in the face to Illinois residents, unquote. And hey, you'd think the people of Illinois and California and New York and Michigan and just about everywhere else in the formerly free republics ought to be getting used to that by now. Trouble is, folks, they don't just want to spit in your face. They want to let people like Bill Gates jab you in the you-know-what with you're-not-going-to-know-what. And that's provided they don't starve you first. So after that, yeah, how is the planned destruction of a formerly free nation proceeding? Answer, really, really well. If you look at the number of Americans who've lost their jobs over the last 6 weeks, it's now exceeded 30 million after 3.84, but hey, who's really counting? Additional claims for unemployment last week, bringing the six-week Harry Carey total to 30.3 million, which is, not too surprisingly now, over 12 times the prior worst five-week period in the last 50-plus years. And given the latest initial joblessness claims and last week's number of continuing claims, it's the highest level of both ever. There are all kinds of other interesting statistics in the Tyler Durden summary, like the fact that far more Americans have filed for unemployment during the last few weeks than there were jobs gained during the entire decade following the end, aren't people being surprised now, of the so-called Great Recession. And worse still, given socialism on the march and the backdoor UBI drug addiction plan, The final numbers are likely going to be worse due to the bailout itself. As a reminder, writes Zero Hedge, the coronavirus aid, relief, and economic security, good grief, I hate these asinine, in-your-face, or whatever, acronyms, the CARES Act, as if they cared, passed back on March 27, could contribute to new records being reached over coming weeks, as that abomination increases eligibility for jobless claims, and I guess people better get used to it, because if Big Brother continues down this path, oh, and they intend to, there won't be any jobs pretty soon. To self-employed and gig workers, extends the maximum number of weeks that they can get what are called benefits, and provides an additional $600 per week until July 31st, by which time it won't be worth the paper it's printed on. And a recent Wall Street Journal article, among anybody else that has any grasp of human behavior or elementary economics, noted that this has increased incentives for various businesses to temporarily lay off their employees and basically never ever hire them back, knowing they'll be covered financially as the economy remains in the intended shutdown. Meanwhile, those at the lowest end will actually be better off not working, and how's that for a shocking development? Would you believe, too, that they have the temerity to try to blame this on capitalism, which arguably no American currently living has ever actually seen? And here they and we will note that any number of Austrians have been pointing out for a long time the self-destructive insanity of these so-called economic programs. The Ludwig von Mises Institute's Robert Aro put it this way when he pointed out that the so-called stimulus packages, think of it as a bit of economic cocaine up people's noses, being handed out across the world, now provide all of us with an opportunity to document the anti-capitalist process as it unfolds in real time. Keeping in mind that when the inevitable hyperinflation follows, all of this will no doubt be blamed on capitalism by those who knew darn well exactly what they were doing. Which leads me to backtrack for just a second, make a full stop and say, look, here is the disgusting, not even ironic anymore, aspect of what's going on here. The far left couldn't sell people on UBI or the Green New Deal. Obamacare was such a dismal failure, it actually had a few people beginning to wake up to the evil of socialized medicine, from out-of-control insurance costs to death panels. Or exchanging all of their liberty for a little temporary security, honestly. So what did we do instead? Allow the communist Chinese to do what the communist deep state in America had been wanting to do for so long, come up with some kind of booga-booga-booga excuse, and it's even better if it's a real bioweapon, folks, to destroy the entire world economy and bring about the inevitable bubble popping that was due to happen anyway, only just on their own terms and their desired timing, and to a far greater degree. Zika virus didn't work, swine flu didn't work, Ebola A and B didn't work, but hey, it looks like we finally got some traction with COVID-1984. So what then? Well, once you got people scared, you can tell them things like, they're not essential, and besides, you're better off not working anyway. They gotta stay home, eat bonbons, and watch CNN, MSNBC, and The View. But not to worry, Big Brother's going to provide you with a little bit of stimulus check to get you all nicely addicted before you wake up and realize you're going to starve to death given what they've now accomplished. We'll get back to that part in just a minute, but first on to the inevitable conclusion. So take the combination of increasing the money supply like there's no limit in order to pay people not to produce goods or services, or more importantly, as we're going to find out, food. All of this has consequences that not too many people outside of the Austrian world or those who can read scripture are talking about, and it flies in the very face of the concept of a free market, and it's equally as nonsensical as negative interest rates. Call it what you want, they say, socialism, maybe interventionism, better still, folks, fascism, because it's a public-private partnership between the biggest brothers and the biggest brother's biggest buddies. One thing is certain, when it comes to the so-called Paycheck Protection Program, it ain't capitalism. And welfare cliffs alone are not the only reason so many capable Americans are now languishing, as intended, in partial dependency, soon to be complete, on government assistance. Obviously, long-standing issues like dreadful government indoctrination centers and systemic and systematic obstacles to actually getting a job, like the minimum wage laws, aka black teenage unemployment laws, but now it's everybody, and occupational licensing laws and so forth, are also certainly to blame. But the perverse incentives of America's welfare system are a huge major hurt, and the anti-capitalist CARES Act may have been the final tipping point. And here's an interesting number. Would you believe America has now lost 434 jobs for every confirmed U.S. death attributed, at least, to COVID-1984? And it's not just America with a K, of course. The entire world is suffering from the intended meltdown. German unemployment, too, for example, soared in April, while the Eurozone economy contracts at the fastest rate on record, as coronavirus lockdowns there, too, inflict the intended severe economic damage across the continent. Now, let me say this again. Why do I keep saying intended? The same reason you would if you saw somebody stupid enough to shoot themselves in the foot and then reload. And headlines like this really no doubt tickle the green Nazis. Beef prices soar, says another one, to a record high. We've seen a lot of those lately, haven't we? As meatpacking plants continue to shutter themselves, thanks to the intended consequences of the COVID-1984 shutdown. Wholesale American beef prices jumped 6% to a record high of $3.31 per pound, and that's a 62% increase over the February lows, according to Bloomberg, citing new USDA data, which might now stand for U.S. Dead Americans. The surge in beef prices comes at a time when the nation's food supply chain network has already, what an amazing coincidence, been severely damaged by meatpacking plants going offline due to, I'm going to change the wording here just a bit, totalitarian-related shutdowns and worker shortages. Don't forget, folks, the leftists didn't want you to eat meat anyway. And, says the piece, the soaring food inflation came just one day after President Trump said he would be issuing an executive order to address meat shortages. And if history is any guide, folks, and it always is, if famine wasn't pretty much a lead pipe cinch already, that would certainly stick a fork in it. Processing plants said one so-called expert, quoted by Zero Hedger, generally in favor of the executive order, that would give them liability cover when they reopen. Gee, that worked so well for the vaccine industry, didn't it? What could possibly go wrong? But here comes the official narrative, again, courtesy of the chief commodities economist at International SC Stone. Because of the virus. Oh, yeah, sure. Are you buying that? No, because of the idiotic responses to the virus. Meat slaughtering is 40% below where it needs to be to handle all the animals coming to market. Unquote. Well, don't worry, folks. Given all the negative incentives in place, they won't be coming to market for too much longer.
I love it when a plan comes together.
And the left won't have anything else to worry about when it comes to the starvation that is now pretty well also baked into the cake. If you're not preparing for the inevitable at this point, folks, you're going to be hungry. Just days ago, Tyson Foods warned in a full-page ad in the Sunday New York Times that the, quote, food supply chain is breaking, unquote, and duh. How do you make sure it stays dead, down, and broken? Answer? Look at Mao's China, Soviet Russia, and the Great Leap Forward. Why, they've learned a lot even since Venezuela. Just pay attention to see what the governors of the various totalitarian states are doing. With tens of millions of Americans, said Tyler Durden, in summary, out of work, a crashed economy that's plunging into full-scale depression, and, of course, rapid food inflation to boot, all of this could suggest that the evolution of the virus crisis is not just merely an economic crisis, but also social instabilities lie directly ahead. Here's a story I almost didn't do because, quite frankly, folks, this satanically evil tool of contagion really just flat out pissed me off. To see such evil be allowed to persist really ought to do much more than just infuriate us. Here's a piece from the New York Times sports desk quoting Dr. Sick Anthony Fauci, who's not only been targeting the United States population itself, retail sales, food supplies, and the industrial chain, but he also seems to want to make sure that major league sports of every description are almost as dead as the economy. This guy wants to do to all Americans what Roundup does to any plants that God made. Having already destroyed over 30 million jobs, writes Jim Hoft again for the Gateway Pundit, by pushing flawed model after flawed model with the willing help of the leftist media, now Fauci is targeting the sports world too, and the few remaining dollars generated by sporting events.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Letting a sports league reopen, he said, courtesy of NYT Sports, would probably mean isolating the players in their off time. Quote, I know it's going to be difficult for them not to be out in society. Well, I guess it's difficult for all of the mere peons to not be out in society, or maybe not even to have a society anymore. Well, he said, but that may be the price you pay if you want to play ball. Unquote. And think about that a second. America needs to be telling this son of a bitch, we don't want to play ball anymore, certainly not with his rules. The sick, for instance, the New York Times called this so-called doctor, quote, the leading U.S. infectious disease expert. I guess that's true, given the Fourth Reich doesn't have Joseph Mengele anymore, and the U.S. doesn't have that $3.7 million Fauci's organization gave to the Wuhan bioweapon developers either. But what the Reich, Bill Gates, and Fauci, and maybe I repeat myself, do certainly have is the intent to vaccinate every formerly free American, whether they like it or not. Tom Fitton, for Judicial Watch, having a whole lot better head on his shoulders than most of the mainstream media, put it this way in her tweet, Dr. Fauci, sick, sets an impossible guarantee safety standard. Quote, safety for the players and the fans trumps everything. Unquote. Before he will allow the return of professional sports. I hope, said Fitton, that this isn't the policy of the real Donald Trump and his administration. But honestly, folks, if it wasn't the policy of the administration, the president would have done the intelligent, economically literate, and freedom-oriented thing and fired this modern version of Dr. Strangelove months ago. The fact that he hasn't tells us all we need to know. The deep state, with its well-planned American self-immolation, has now completely destroyed the American economy. They're working on what's left of its infrastructure, and they obviously don't intend to even so much as let a professional baseball team survive their intended apocalypse. They've literally come out by now and done everything except tell the American people, we intend to burn it down, burn it all down.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Dave Hodges is among those who have been proclaiming that the United Nations agenda, now clearly exposed, is nothing less than the deindustrialization of the entire West and replacement thereof with so-called green energy, which basically means starving a whole lot of people and making sure that the few who survive will probably freeze during the coming global cool down that they've been lying about for so long. All of this, he notes, is the enslavement of America and the rollout of technocracy on a grand scale. Okay, well, we've seen that coming now for quite a while. And so the big question is, will Americans figure out who the real enemy is before they begin starving to death and killing one another? Jeff Deist, former chief of staff for Congressman Ron Paul, back a number of years ago, and a fellow I enjoyed dealing with back then, now writing for the Mises Organization, and of course, LouRockwell.com, asked that important question in a piece entitled, Will It Take Food Shortages to End Support for the Shutdown? Americans, he begins, are uniquely privileged to the point of imagining that they can simply stay home for months and months without suffering severe economic hardship as a result. I think economic illiteracy has a lot to do with that, personally. Our unique privilege is delusion, he continues, the mentality that America is rich and will remain rich without any particular effort on our part, or that we can even do stupid things forever and hang on to that legacy. Abundance simply materializes around us, continues Deist, regardless of incentives, and the job of politicians is to rearrange this abundance more, well, equitably, social justice-wise. Polls like this one, and he quotes a Kaiser Health poll, courtesy of who else, NPR, showing wide American support for quarantines and business shutdowns are evidence of this American privilege. 80% of respondents think the shutdowns by various state governors are justified as a response to booga, 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 COVID-1984, and one-third support extending the closures for another full 6 months. this reflexive and unthinking complicity, he writes, from the dumbed-down American public is partially explained by media hype, of course, over an illness which, as of this writing, has killed fewer than 60,000 Americans. But fear and hysteria always sell. The press clearly wants the coronavirus to be a major event, one that unseats Trump in the fall. And for their part, he writes, the administration has clearly done a terrible job, starting with the awful Dr. Mengele, Fauci, whom the president should have sacked months ago. Yeah, we're all in agreement on that score. And clearly the various governors' responses are wildly out of proportion to the actual public health threat, even if initially well-intentioned, and some of us now doubt that too, due to the sheer uncertainty of the lethality of the virus. But something far more fundamental is at work here, he continues. Americans simply fail to understand or even much think about the fragility of distribution chains and the goods and services we rely on. Earlier this week, he says, the chairman of the big conglomerate, Tyson Foods, warned about those severe disruptions at processing plants and how they could create very serious shortages of beef, chicken, and other stuff in U.S. grocery stores, decimate livestock farmers, that's of course intended, and all of this was bound to happen as the dominoes fell anyway. The shutdowns would not only impact non-essential goods, but everything. And remember, folks, only socialists are stupid enough to think that they're the only ones smart enough to decide what's essential. Who didn't see this, says Jeff Deist. Will it take outright food shortages to make Americans change their minds about whether the shutdown is quote-unquote worth it? Well, we only need to look at India for an example of what business and work shutdowns create in a country without so much existing wealth to consume, but where far more people choose to live close to the bone. Over there, the work moratorium by Prime Minister Modi has sent millions of migrant workers and unskilled laborers into very real danger of outright starvation. They're already living hand-to-mouth and penniless, their jobs essentially banned, and many have now taken to walking hundreds of miles in 100-degree-plus heat to their home villages in hopes that maybe they'll be fed there by their families. So in a country with already widespread poverty and depressingly little per capita capital investment, the shutdown is a death sentence for many. Because without much capital accumulation, Indians have little savings and few investments to consume when income grinds to a halt. And they're hardly the only poor country at risk and needing food relief. One NGO official warns that biblical-level famines across more than 30 undeveloped nations will happen if supply chains continue to be disrupted and charitable economic aid dries up. Well, says Deist, this is what poverty really means, having little or no cushion of wealth for an emergency, even a planned one, folks, like this. Poverty is best defined as a lack of savings and resulting capital, leaving people completely dependent on new and consistent income just to survive. It's a condition that only capital accumulation can improve. And don't forget, folks, it's precisely the exact opposite of what the far left and their accomplices, Fauci and Gates and the like, are accomplishing in America, and very rapidly. But think about that. It's a condition that only capital accumulation can improve. And yet, ironically, it's capitalism that's blamed for the unfolding tragedy around us. Here he quotes a tweet from one of the useful idiots. Nationalize everything. I don't even care what it is, this nutcase wrote. In 2020, nationalize it is the new put a bird on it because, considering the state we're in, y'all lost your capitalist privileges, unquote. And you know what, folks? With idiots like that in positions of power, and it would seem still running the administration and allowing the likes of Fauci and Birx and others to continue to put a fork in it, we're headed right down that path. Well, stories like this, concludes Jeff Deist, finally encourage Americans to understand the severity of the situation. Americans had better take note, he says, and soon. I close today with a somewhat disgusting story that I actually remembered hearing as a kid. Call it anecdotal, but it certainly fits with the current New America with a K and the dumbed-down attitudes of people who expect, basically, that they can keep on doing stupid stuff forever, and that includes not having to work or actually do anything productive, and that Big Brother will somehow manage to feed them anyway, because he's so wonderful. The story concerns one of those incidents when people were left starving somewhere in the wilderness, didn't have any food at all, and did have a dog. And at some point, the dog's master decides to start cutting the dog's legs off, one at a time, and fry them up and eat them. And in the process, they eventually throw the one-legged dog a bit of the bone that's left over. The dog is thrilled at the meal, and he limps over and manages to lick the hand of his wonderful master. So I'll ask it, folks, how long until Americans finally wake up and realize that Big Brother is literally eating them alive and feeding them scraps up until there's not any scraps left to feed the remaining survivors? It's a disgusting situation for sure, and I wonder how long Americans will put up with it before they realize how badly they're being lied to. Trouble is, they've already put up with it so long that the economic depression is without question baked into cake. Next on the agenda, almost certainly also without question, are widespread food shortages and probably even food riots, especially if the EBT card system goes down, as is no doubt also planned. It's getting awfully late now to start preparing for what's coming. So get to it.